And welcome to the Fun Kids Book Club. I'm Bex, and I'm here with you today with loads of cool books to tell you all about. We'll also be chatting to Matt Haig, Nadia Hussain, and Olaf the Lovel. But first, it's my very important Fun Kids Book Club trivia question. My question is this. Who wrote The Christmasaurus? Is it A, Tom Fletcher, B, David Walliams, or C, Jacqueline Wilson? I've kept it easy for this one because it's a Christmas special. I'll tell you the answer at the end of the podcast. First up, though, let's find out what happened when Matt Haig came into the studio. I am joined in the studio by Matt Haig. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome back.
Yes, I know. It's been a year.
It's been a whole year. Another Christmas book.
Another Christmas book. Third and final Christmas book, actually. Yes, it might be the very last one of this series. So, yes, it's quite an emotional...
Yeah, how does it feel saying goodbye to Christmas?
It felt like the right place to do it. And Amelia, the character who was in the last book as well, the girl who saved Christmas, it's sort of like the end of his story and it finishes nicely. And it would feel sort of wrong, I think, to do another one. So I might move sideways and do something else, like in the world. But in terms of this story, it feels like the right place.
So this one's called Father Christmas and Me.
Yes, it is.
And it's about Amelia kind of being taken in the world by Father Christmas and Merry Christmas. Is that right?
Yes. But they're literally the only human characters. So they're this sort of strange human family, kind of human family. She was sort of been adopted by Father Christmas. And they're outsiders. So Amelia is the only human at her school, which is predominantly elves, and she's has a hard time fitting in, and an accident happens while she's doing her sleighcraft lesson, and that she breaks a very important sleigh and she gets into all kinds of trouble, and then she has a lot of problems before things start to get better.
What was it like writing about elf school? Because it sounds really cool.
It was funny. And it was... This was the first one I've done which was totally set in the elf world. Like, the other books have a little bit of like London or Finland. As this one was totally set in that land of elves and pixies. So it was just like... I felt like I was a dog off the lead and I could sort of go anywhere and do anything, and it was fun.
I'm going to say, because I remember last time you had to do a lot of research into kind of Victorian London and that kind of stuff, but this time it's brilliant because you can do whatever you want and there's no fact-checking.
No fact-checking, yes. So pixies are in there. There's also the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny's kind of one of the main bad guys in the book, so he's a bit jealous of Father Christmas and wants to stop Christmas, so that's the challenge this time. And there's also an evil elf called Father Vodal. Most elves are good, but Father Vodal is a bit nasty, and he owns a newspaper called the Daily Truth, and spreads a lot of lies about Amelia.
What was it like writing the Easter Bunny as well? Because that's quite cool to pick up on another kind of character.
It was quite nice to have to do this sort of grumpy Bunny who feels very frustrated, but he's got a good side to him too, but that doesn't come out through most of the book.
So when you say maybe taking a sideward step, would you then write about Easter instead?
I don't know, Easter, or maybe like there's a character called the Truth Pixie who I've enjoyed writing a lot, so maybe a book for even younger readers, like a picture book or something with the Truth Pixie. I don't know.
Oh, I like the idea that you're just, you can tiny little things just in your head.
But I've
just
got other ideas. Like at the moment, I've got this idea about doing a story about someone who can telepathically communicate with animals. Like, she can sort of talk to animals. And so that's sort of, I like the idea of that story with lots of animal voices. So I might do that next. I don't know.
I love the way it's just in your head. I can tell it's in there. Yeah. So will you feel a bit sad saying goodbye to Amelia, or do you feel like you say, it's the end of the, not the end of the road,
sad.
But the
It right. sounds so soppy, but I literally had a tear as I was writing the last few paragraphs. I mean, it wasn't because the ending was particularly sad, but it was just because I knew, I don't know, it's been really fun, because I wrote the first book for my son Lucas, who's about to be 10. He's looking forward to his birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, Lucas.
And the second book, because I'd done one for my son called A Boy Called Christmas, my daughter felt a bit left out, so I had to do The Girl Who Saved Christmas for her, and then this one was for both of them, and so it's been quite a big thing in our family, you know, I was sort of doing it for the kids, so it was a little bit emotional, but there'll be more books in me.
But do you feel like a bit also, I imagine you're writing this book all through the year. So do you feel a bit Christmased out sometimes?
Yes, because you're very rarely writing it at Christmas.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the first one I did write mostly in the run-up to Christmas, but the other two I've been writing them in, like, April. Which was probably why the Easter Bunny was.
I was going to say, is that why?
But, you know, but it's something quite nice, actually, when you're sort of, like, in a boring patch of the year to just be totally... Christmasified, and remembering that the hard bit is when you're having to do it in January, you know, when you've just
it's all over.
Yeah, that's a bit funny, but no, it's been great. I'm it's been a great way for me as a ridiculously old 42-year-old person to you know, like, feel that again, you know, feel the sort of Christmassy magic.
Did you feel a bit reignited with it because you were writing all the magical stories? Did you feel like, yeah, I remember Christmas being amazing? Yes
absolutely. Christmas was always, I mean, I know everyone's into Christmas, but I was massively... I used to get so excited, like, as soon as it was... After Bonfire Night, I was in the zone.
You can legitimately go for it then.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, when you become a sort of 20-something person, you sort of lose that. But, yeah, now, thanks to the books and thanks to my kids, I'm back in the Christmas zone.
So what's the one part of the Christmas day that you properly love the most?
Well, you know, it sounds corny. I do like the presents, but I like just... being with everyone, I mean, just sort of around the table. Actually, this year, we're going out for our Christmas dinner. So that will be super fun for Mum and Dad because it means we don't have to have too much time in the kitchen.
Yeah, sure.
And, I mean, now, like, just the kids. I mean, basically, we're hoping we're not going to be woken up too early this year. Last year, it was about... 4:30 or something crazy.
Wow.
But then they end up, like, Lucas and Pearl end up, like, falling asleep at midday. So that's a bad idea, kids. I think more like 7 o'clock's a reasonable time.
My parents used to tell me off. They used to wake me up because I'd sleep in really late, even as a little kid. And they'd be like, it's Christmas. Do you want to come on and come back? Yeah. Now, because obviously you seem to be a connoisseur of all things Christmas, I've made a little Christmas quiz.
Oh, my goodness.
If that's okay.
Okay, I'm scared now.
Okay. I think you'll be good at this. Okay. Now, this one, immediately, I wrote this and it immediately caught me out. Can you name Santa Claus's 8 reindeer?
Okay, I probably can. Well, so we're not including Rudolph.
We're not including Rudolph, no.
Okay, so we've got... they won't be in the right sort of order.
That's fine.
Dasher,
yep.
Prancer, mm-hmm. Comet, Cupid, Vixen,
yep.
Blitzen,
yep.
Dancer.
And one more.
Comet, Cupid, Vixen, as I said, Vixen, Cupid.
It's also a girl's name, perhaps, will that help? I'm not sure, spelled the same way.
Give me the first letter.
D.
Dasher, Dancer, oh my goodness, I've gone blank.
Donna.
Donna, of course it's Donna. Donna. Oh my goodness, she's in the books as well, so that's really terrible of me.
Sorry, Donna. Writing this out and totally forgot all of them. I knew these, it's really bad. Okay, before Father Christmas was famous for wearing red, what colours did he also wear?
Oh, green.
Yes, green is one of them, yeah.
Yes. Was that what
Great. He also wore white and blue, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's quite the multicoloured man. True or false, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was almost called Reginald.
Ooh, false.
True, apparently. Just didn't quite have the ring to it, as well as Reginald the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What gifts did the three wise men give?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Extra points if you can spell myrrh.
M-Y.
Yeah.
Oh, R.
Yeah.
R?
Yeah.
H.
Yeah.
Well.
Sweet. Again, only know because autocorrect helped me out with that one. Can you give me two other names for Santa Claus?
Father Christmas.
Yes.
And Papa Noel.
Yes. Good one. I didn't know whether you'd go for St. Nick or...
Oh, St. Nick, yeah.
I found out in Norway, he's called... I'll definitely say this wrong. Julen Nissen, which means Christmas gnome.
Oh.
Which I really enjoyed.
That's quite quaint.
And true or false, Iceland have 13 variations of Santa Claus.
I would imagine, being Iceland, and they've got so many long words and stuff, I'd say true.
That is definitely true, yes. One of them's called Door Sniffer and one of them's called Spoon Licker.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant name. Spoon Licker, the Santa Claus.
Great.
Thank you for playing my Christmas quiz. You did pretty
thank
well.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. So we should say Father Christmas and Me is out right now.
It is, yes.
And if you haven't read the other books, it's still okay to read this one because it's still it's a great story on its own.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wrote all three of the books to be read on their own. I mean, we do sort of follow each other, but you don't need any of that sort of knowledge to read books.
Everybody should go and read them.
Oh, well, I think so. Yes, an amazing idea.
Perfect. Thank you for coming in, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Matt Haig for coming into the Fun Kids studio. That is, I think, the third time he's been in here, and he is a lovely man with loads of cool books. Now it's time to welcome back Imogen with all of the Christmassy books we need in our lives this December. Hello, Imogen.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, my goodness. Is it
Merry
Father Christmas?
It is the Santa of Christmas bookshelves.
Brilliant. Okay, so that means you must have some good ones for us this week.
I do indeed. And we're going to kick off with The Untold Story of Father Christmas.
The Untold One?
The Untold Story.
Amazing.
Have you ever wondered, Bex, where Father Christmas came from?
I do often, actually, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you know how he ended up with a factory of elves in Lapland?
I've no idea. I assume they just kind of heard his call and just gathered around him.
Well, this book might help you.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So basically, it's a beautifully illustrated book by Lauren Mills. And the book is by Alison and Mike Battle. And it's a timeless story about a toy maker and his wife became Mother and Father Christmas for the children all over the world.
Now, the book looks beautiful. It's hardbacked. It's quite big. It's red and silver. It's quite a Christmassy colour.
There's some beautiful pictures in it. Lots of good stories. And I think it would be a great one to read this side of Christmas.
It would also be really good, just looking at it, to either get that read to you as a bedtime story or to read that to your little brothers and sisters before they go to bed.
What a great, great idea.
Mm, there you go.
Right, next up we have Hetty Feathers Christmas.
From Jacqueline Wilson.
From Jacqueline Wilson.
Yes!
Yes, your favourite.
I love her.
You do indeed. Now, Hetty Feather is a very confident and brave and daring gal, and she won't let anything stand in her way.
Now, this is the, oh goodness knows, there are like six or seven in the Hetty Feather series, and this is the Christmas special, basically.
This is the Christmas special, yeah. An unexpected gift leads to trouble for Hetty on Christmas Day at the Foundling Hospital, and the dreaded Matron Bottomley is delighted to have an excuse to exclude Hetty from the festive celebrations. Poor Hetty is distraught, because obviously you would be.
Christmas is Christmas.
But just when she thinks that all is lost, a dear friend arrives to whisk her away for a Christmas unlike any other.
That sounds like a classic Hetty Feather adventure to me.
Yes.
Very hard to say, isn't it? Hetty Feather.
Hetty Feather. Yes. Great one to read this Christmas, and one to add to the Hetty Feather collection.
Absolutely.
Next up, we have a classic, and you'll probably all know the story of A Christmas Carol.
I know the story from The Muppets.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And there's been a million films about it.
But this is the original.
This is the original. It's by Charles Dickens.
There we go. Charles Dickens. Yeah, yeah, the man himself.
And it was written all the way back in 1843.
I've never read this book, actually. I've read Oliver, which he also wrote, but never A Christmas Carol.
Hmm. Well, I think you should.
Yeah, I think I should as well, actually. Yeah.
So it's basically all about this old man called Scrooge.
Yeah.
Bleh, who's all very bah humbug and not into Christmas at all. So he gets visited by these three ghosts, and they teach him about his ways and things that he's done and how it's implicated other people's lives.
And just teach him to be a nice guy.
A nice guy.
Just come on, Scrooge. Don't come on now. Come on, stop it now, Scrooge.
To get into the Christmas spirit.
It's a classic story that you will definitely know, but I think probably worth a read from the original.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might have an idea of the story, but don't actually know all the little details. So I think you should have a little read of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. What's the next one?
The next one is Can Dr. Proctor Save Christmas?
Can he? I don't know.
I don't know at all. Well, you're going to have to read the book to find out.
I probably should. I will.
Yeah, so basically, the King of Norway has sold Christmas.
Can you sell Christmas?
I mean, I guess so.
I guess so in this book you can.
Yeah, he sold it to a man called Mr. Thrain, and thanks to him, it looks like the holidays are not going to be very merry at all.
So what happens?
So Mr. Thrain says that the only people that can celebrate Christmas are those who buy 10,000 crowns worth of presents from his department store.
That doesn't seem very Christmassy to me.
No. I mean, he's a bit of a Scrooge.
Mm.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't or can't spend 10,000 crowns, No tree, no presents, no carols. Christmas is cancelled.
Boo!
Boo.
I like
indeed.
The sound of this book. It sounds interesting.
But Dr. Proctor.
Yeah.
Isn't going to take this thing down.
Good.
No, no. So he's going to find Santa and save Christmas.
Thank goodness Dr. Proctor is around.
Exactly. So they need to do is find a sleigh, some flying reindeer, some time travel soap, and of course, some fart powder.
It's pretty easy to find, isn't it?
Absolutely.
They sound like excellent books, Imogen.
They are. There's also one more.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, hit me with one more book.
There's another book, and it's more of a poem.
Okay.
It's called "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
I can recite the first two lines of this poem already.
Go on then.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
Very good.
That's
text.
My
bravo,
thank
bravo,
you. It's my best
bravo,
poetry
bravo,
voice.
Bravo, bravo. It's originally written by Clement Clark Moore.
What a great name.
Yeah, he was a Canadian man, and it was originally published in a book called A Visit from St. Nicholas in 1823.
Wow! We've got two of our very oldest books we've ever recommended today.
Very, very old. Like, older than Harry Potter.
Older than you and me put together.
I know. Yeah. It's a classic poem, and although it's not really a hefty book to read, I think it's definitely one that you need to have a read of.
It's a good one to have in the memory bank, I would say.
Yes, one for the memory banks. It's one to remember and to tell your children about and your grandchildren about, and your parents will know it and your grandparents will know it and your grandparents' grandparents will know it.
It's just a nice one to get you in the festive mood, I would say.
It really is. And those are my five picks for Christmas.
Thank you very much, Imogen!
Thanks!
Right, okay, we are going to chat now to Nadia Hussein. She's got a kind of recipe / storybook, and I want to find out all about it.
Hello, hi!
Hi! I'm joined by Nadia Hussein, aka star of The Bake Off and of writing and of TV now.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
You seem surprised by that when I told you.
I hate it. I can't quite fathom when somebody says TV and books, and I can't. It's hard to believe that I've done all of those things, because sometimes when I'm in the midst of being really busy and doing all of that, I forget that there's going to be a book at the end of it and there's going to be a TV show at the end of it. So, yeah, I can't quite believe it sometimes.
Do you ever look around and you're like, oh, that's mine and that's mine and that's mine?
Maybe sometimes if I'm showing off to my husband, I'm like, so who wants to see how many of this I've done? So sometimes maybe, but no, it's really scary actually when I kind of look at my bookshelf now and there's five books.
With your name on?
With my name
on.
I still get really shocked and humbled and just I can't quite believe it when I see my name in print. So it's bizarre but great at the same time.
Because you've got this brand new book out right now.
Yeah.
This one here, which we can see.
Bake Me a Festive Story.
Yeah, the sequel to the first one, Bake
Me
a Story.
Yeah.
So how did the whole series come about? Because it's such an interesting but like kind of original idea. I've never seen it before with stories and recipes.
Exactly. Well, it didn't exist till
now.
You're an inventor. And it was and an inventor. but it was just one of those things that I was at home, and that's where I get my best ideas, I think, is when I'm just doing something completely mundane, something at home, laundry. I get my best ideas when I'm half asleep and doing laundry.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
because you zone out completely. And
you're just doing one thing, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think you want to make the pain go away. You're like, I don't want to be doing this laundry. And then you think about other things. And my kids were... I was cooking, and I was baking and cooking and doing bits in the kitchen, kind of everywhere, and then the kids come down, and my kids love reading, but they can never, they're impatient as well, they can never wait till bedtime, so they say, mommy, please, 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 can you just read us this one chapter? So I kind of had to turn everything off and sit down, and we just sit on the floor, on the kitchen floor, and I read them a chapter, and I thought, that's it. And that was like a light bulb moment for me. I thought, right, that's what I'm going to do. I am going to write a cookbook / storybook, and that's where the idea began. And that's it. And I'm on to this is the second book.
A special Christmas one.
And it's great because it's about the festive season and it's about Christmas, but it's also about the fun and the sharing and family. And it encapsulates all of that at once. And being kind, you know, and it's all the little traits that we try and teach our children, kind of all kind of encompassed in one book. And obviously tailored around Christmas, which is fantastic because Christmas is one of those times where you get that lovely warm...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, that's the whole thing about Christmas. You feel like you are... You should be kind. Not that you shouldn't be the rest of the year, but for some reason Christmas makes you do it even more.
It does. It gives you that spirit of Christmas. It's something that, you know, I grew up with. Mm-hmm. Even though I never celebrated it, it was something that from sort of... It gives you that kind of warm, fuzzy, yeah, LED fairy light kind of feeling inside. I can't quite explain it, it's like...
Absolutely.
But... I wrote this 6, 7, 8 months ago, so I was celebrating Christmas.
So when were you writing this book? That's a few months, but it's the beginning of the year almost.
Yeah, sort of beginning of the year.
Wow.
So we were doing Christmas in our house in January.
Do you have like tinsel still up and everything like that? And your husband was like, we need to take this down. What's happening?
We were still just kind of getting over Christmas and the new year. And then I started writing the book. So it was really nice actually, because it kind of stayed alive for a little bit longer.
Yeah, Year of Christmas.
Yeah.
That's the next book. So what kind of recipes are in it? Is it baking? Is it kind of like meals for people? What kind of stuff is in there?
So it's baking and it's just cooking. So sweet and savoury.
Right.
And so with each, there's a combination of 30 recipes and 30 stories.
Oh, wow.
And there are also poems in there as well. And I love writing poems. And what I did was, with the first book, what I'd done is I'd taken original fairy tales and then kind of given them a little bit of a twist.
Yeah.
And in that first book, there were a couple of original stories. But what I've done this time around is I've taken old stories like Elves and the Shoemaker.
Yes.
And Tea Light Girl. Stories that people will recognise, mm-hmm, instantly. And then kind of given them a bit of a modern twist. And some of these stories are quite grim.
Well, yeah, fairy tales kind of tend to be anyway, don't they?
Yeah. And I just thought that's why our kids are having nightmares, because we're telling them stories about wicked stepmothers and then saying, off you go to bed then.
Night-night. Bye.
Yeah. So, you know, don't worry about the trolls. But, you know, they just seemed a little bit grim.
Yeah.
And what I've done is I've taken those old classic stories, changed them, modernised them slightly, a bit more accessible to kids now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the difference with this book is that I've written some original stories and some original poems, a few more. So I'm giving myself the opportunity to write kind of creatively as well. But it just, you know what, there's nothing nicer than taking an old story and then twisting it.
And making it your own.
Turning it. Yeah. And each story comes with its own recipe. And what I loved about writing the book was, as I was writing, I kind of don't know which way I go. Sometimes I do recipe first, then story.
Right.
Or story first and then recipe. Or they both just weirdly just connect.
Just fit together.
Yeah. And so in each story, the recipes are kind of intertwined into the stories. And it was that moment when I'd done that very first story, the very first recipe. I handed my daughter a little cupcake and I said, so we're going to read this story. So I read her the first story and handed her this breakfast muffin. And she said, Mummy, it's like the story came to life in my hands.
That's so good.
And that was like, oh, if I want to do this forever.
Yeah.
I want to make that magic happen in any which way. And honestly, writing this book, like I give myself 2 months and yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, I'm like, I've done it. It's done.
I bet there's a lot of authors who are very jealous of that. I feel like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Because I was going to say, the stories you could probably read while something's baking or while something's cooking. And then, like you say, it kind of comes to life because it'll come out the oven and you can have it after the story.
Yeah, what's lovely is that, you know, families can take the book away and they can do it whichever way they want. You know, they could read the story first and then feel inspired and go and do the recipe, or they could do the recipe and then snuggle up in bed and then eat it in the bed and then read the story. So it, like, you could do it whichever way you want. That's what's lovely.
Now, am I right in thinking you won a poetry competition a few years ago? Because I read somewhere that you... So was it quite easy for you to write the poems and stories? Or was it like getting back into it was a bit hard?
I've been writing longer than I've been cooking or baking. So that's something that's...
Oh.
Yeah, so I started writing when I was 7. I won a poetry competition. And I remember that year, the year previous to that, I think that competition is a national competition that still runs. And the year before that, a boy won in our school and he met the Queen. And I said, I'm going to win that competition and I'm going to meet the Queen.
And did you meet her?
No, I didn't.
No!
But I won the competition.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you wanted, really.
Yeah, and yeah. I said to my dad, I'm going to meet the Queen one day, which, you know, and I've done that too. So it's like, yeah, it's weird. It's like sometimes you say it out loud, daringly, you say things to the universe and the universe kind of comes back 30 years later and says,
delivers it in a weirder way.
Yeah.
Do you have like a tick list of things and you've done it all now, I imagine?
Absolutely not. My dad always says that I always say things off the cuff.
Right.
And not knowing why I'm saying them. And then suddenly things just kind of... Sometimes the stars just align and it just happens. No, I don't have a checklist and say, yep, this is what I want to do. I have lists of shopping everywhere,
right, okay,
but nothing else. And in terms of kind of what I'm doing right now, I'm winging it. I'm just kind of like turning up and doing stuff.
I mean, you're doing it really well, though.
Thank you.
You're winging it pretty nicely.
Thank you.
Now, I want to tell everyone who's listening and watching, you even brought me a special present in today.
Of course.
Now, how beautiful is this? Now, I believe it says inside here, some truffles.
Yes.
So which story is this from?
This is from The Tea Light Girl.
Okay.
And in that story, there is it's a story about a little girl, and I'm not going to give it away, but it's at the end. In the story, she makes these little speculoos truffles, and I can't come without bringing a present. So
I love it.
Yeah, so I thought I'd bring you a little. It's about the story coming to life, and it's nice for me to bring things for you so you can read it and see why I've made those for you.
There's going to be so many jealous fun kids presenters. I love it so much. Thank you. Now, I've got a little game to play with you, if that's okay. It's a game I've invented right now. It's called... kind of like just before you came in.
Okay.
You're the first person to test it.
Okay. Let's see how this goes.
No pressure. Okay. It could be terrible. Might be awful, but let's see.
Let's just be terrible together.
That's fine, yeah. that's good to hear. It's a book. It's a story called... a game called Just William or Just Desserts. I'm going to give you some titles.
Okay.
And you have to tell me whether they're the name of desserts and puddings or books.
Okay.
Okay, I think you'll be fine with this. I think you've got this. Okay, so... Johnny Cake Cobblers. Is that a dessert or a book?
That's a book.
That's a dessert.
Is it?
Yeah.
Johnny Cake Cobblers?
Yeah.
That sounds like a David Walliam book if ever I heard one.
No, right? Blackberry Wine.
That's a drink, right? That's a dessert.
That's a book.
What?
I didn't think this would be this. Well, actually, it is quite hard. There's weird names for books. Weird names. Okay. Summer Berry Grunt.
I still want to say book, but I feel like it's not.
It's a dessert.
Yeah. It's a dessert. Yeah. Right, okay, fine.
We've got one. Good.
Yeah.
Tiny Fools.
Tiny Fools?
Yeah.
That should be a book.
It's a dessert.
It should be a book then. In that case, the next book I write is going to be called Tiny Fools.
Oh my goodness, please do that. I would buy 100,000 copies. 10 Apples on Top.
That's a book, surely.
That is a book, yes. Friendship Cake. You're looking,
no, that's
you're
a book.
It is a book,
that
yeah.
That is a book, yeah.
Yeah, that is a book. For a minute, I thought you were looking at me to give you a clue and I was like...
So, nothing.
And finally...
I got nothing.
Finally, Gingerbread.
Well, I want to see that's a cake. That feels like that's like a pit, that is, isn't it? You're making me... Is it a book?
It's both. You can have both.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I thought so.
I was going to be kind. Whatever you said.
All right.
I'd give you 10 points.
Whoa, that was hard.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I saw the name Johnny Cake Cobblers and ran with it, to be honest. And I was like...
Johnny Cake Cobblers. Yeah. That's an actual real life dessert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's me on the internet then.
Next book, sort it out.
Johnny Cake Cobblers.
So, Bake Me Festive Story is out pretty much... Ready for Christmas, ready to go. Yep. Which recipe are you going to be making from it? What's the first one you'll be making for Christmas?
One of the first ones that we make is the biscotti. So there's the lime and nut biscotti in there. And it's about the friends that we don't have. It's the friends that you have outside of your home. And this is something we do every Christmas. It's not just about your family. It's about people around you. And it's about the community. And it's about your animal friends. And so when you read the story, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's... So what we do every year is we pack up, we make a shed load of biscotti. When I say, I mean, literally my worktops are full just of like biscotti. And then the kids, we have a production line and the kids pack the biscotti and we give them out to neighbours. We stand in front of the front door and whoever's front door we can see, they all get a pack of biscotti.
Wow.
And then share them out during Christmas.
You must be the most popular person on your road or town or whatever. Like, people must love you.
It's nice to be... When I'm recipe testing, they all get lots of stuff. And in the end, they just say, you know what? Can we just... We're all right. We don't need any more cake today. So they do get fed up.
Wow.
But during Christmas, it's like, take it. You must have it.
It's the spirit of Christmas. Take it. Well, thank you so much for coming and chat to us. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Okay, so now it's time to hear a reading from Nadia's brand new book.
Hi, I'm Nadia Hussein, and this is The Little Fir Tree from Bake Me a Festive Story. There were some woods not far from us. The trees were lush and green. They were the biggest fir trees that we had ever seen. Towards the sky they grew and grew. They almost touched the sun. Their branches spreading far and wide, they shaded everyone. Beneath these towering giants grew one tiny, teeny tree. She really was a little un, as small as a small could be. The bigger fir trees in the wood, they used to laugh and jeer at the teeny tiny fir tree who longed to disappear. You'll never be as tall as us. You'll never be as good. So in their giant shadows, the little fir tree stood. One day, a child came along to choose a Christmas tree. Let's have this one, Mummy. It's dinky, just like me. They took the little fir tree home. It wasn't very far. Her branches fitted snugly in the back seat of the car. Welcome home, the child said, as they planted her in the ground. I can't wait to make you pretty now Christmas has come around. But before the decorations, we've a special thing to make. It's tradition in our family, the Christmas ginger cake. The little fir tree watched the child in the kitchen having fun. He sieved and stirred and licked the bowl and iced biscuits one by one. Then while the cake was baking, the child came outdoors. I've finished making my treat, so now it's time for yours. Tinsel, bells and baubles, and on top a star of gold. He made her shine and sparkle out there in the cold. The child stood back, admired his work with pleasure in his eyes. You really are majestic, no matter what your size. The little fir tree was so proud, she felt extremely tall. Her little boy thought she was the most special tree of all. She forgot the jeers and teasing from the lofty trees above. She was now a little Christmas tree who'd found a home and love.
Thank you very much to Nadia for coming into Fun Kids and chatting to us all about her brand new book. I feel very Christmassy right now. And to carry on the Christmassy mood, I think we need to chat to Olaf, Falafel and Parping. Don't worry, it does make sense. It is Christmassy. Hey, this is Bex in the club and I am joined by author and comedian Olaf Falafel. Hello.
Hello.
I love that you were like waving down the microphone.
I'm waving. You can't see that, but I'm waving.
I can see it. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for that. Now, I said author and comedian. You've written a new book.
I have, yeah. It's called Father Christmas Heard a Parp.
It is right here in front of me. To prove it, I'll just do this. I don't know if you can hear that, but that's the flicking of the book there. And it is, like, it's funny and also beautiful. Like, it looks amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I as well as writing it, I drew it as well. I'm an illustrator, so I drew all of the pictures, and it took me absolutely ages.
Is this the, would we say, the mystery book of the year? It's quite a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, did you say mystery book?
I said mystery book.
Mystery book.
Because the deal is, like, who's parping?
Yeah, well, no, that's definitely it. Yeah, so basically, Father Christmas, he's sat in his room, he's making his list, checking it twice.
Sure.
And he hears a noise, and he tries to find out who's made that noise. And the noise, he suspects lots of people along the way. And all along the way, you get to make the noises that various Christmas characters make.
By noises, do you mean...
Bottom noises.
Great, okay. Now, I've been told you're a bit of an expert in making these noises.
I'll tell you what, over the last... Because it started with Old MacDonald heard a parp.
Right, yes.
And that was basically Old MacDonald going around his farm, suspecting animals like a cow of making a noise, and it shows you how to make the noises. So one of my favourite ones from Old MacDonald was the duck. And to make his parp... his bottom burp, you had to purse your lips together tight like the knot in a balloon.
So right.
But okay. Instead of blowing out, you had to suck in. So the duck made this noise.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, okay. It was with a... Yeah.
Like that. Okay, oh, I like that.
That was Old MacDonald. And then for Father Christmas, we've had to come up with a whole load of new parp noises. I say we, me and my two daughters.
I was going to say, how did you workshop this?
Who would absolutely crucify me if I didn't name them, so... How did we workshop it?
Yeah.
It was when I was walking them to school. We would be the odd three people that everyone would look at and point at making noises like... And they would say, oh, Dad, you could do this. Oh, Dad, you could do that.
Were you the people that people crossed the road to get away from?
To avoid, yeah. Yeah. We were the weirdos on the bus, except we don't get the bus. We're the weirdos on the pavement.
What are your daughters called?
Two daughters. One's called Tuesday.
Brilliant.
And one's called Sissy.
Hello to those guys. And well done on workshopping the book. This is amazing.
Big help.
Now, any other... If kids are listening at home and they need to do a parp noise, like, straight away, right now, to their parents, what's the best one they could do for the most impact?
The one that I really like from the new book, it's... I call it the bagpipe.
Uh-huh.
So you fill one of your cheeks up with air.
Okay, I'm going to do this as well. Okay.
And then you prod it with your finger like a bagpipe. That was okay.
That wasn't quite forceful, was it? Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. You've got to do a double bagpipe, so it's a... Brilliant.
Oh, yes.
Good fun, that one.
That's really good fun.
That was one that we really scared some people on the street doing that one.
I love the idea that you'd be walking to school and then your kids get to school and they're like, well, we've had an interesting morning.
Well, that was kind of the first one took off because they were singing Old MacDonald Heard a... It was actually Heard a Fart, to be honest. That's a contentious word. Some of the parents don't like the fart, some like a parp. But that's what it was in the beginning. And they were singing it in the playground and they got told off by the dinner ladies.
No!
Because all the kids in their class were singing it. And as soon as they got told off, I thought, you know what? This would make a good book. And it went playground viral. So I thought, I'm going to have to turn this into a book.
If it's a little bit naughty, it always does.
It does, yeah.
When I was little, we called it a pump.
A pump.
A pump, yeah.
I've heard pop, pump, trump, parp, fart, bottom burp. There's loads of... Everyone has a different... Yeah.
There's
guff.
So many.
I like guff.
Guff, yes.
Guff's a great one.
Oh, guff.
Who's
that is
guffed?
Is that the name of your third book?
That's not them. I tell you what we were watching, which was brilliant. We were watching it was a horse race, a genuine horse race in the US, in America. Mm-hmm. And the winning horse, his name, it was a two-part name. The first name was Hoof, like the hoof on the feet. And the second part of his name was Hearted, like his heart. But when you put them together, and the commentator was saying, it's Hoof-Hearted, 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 Hoof-Hearted F1. And so, yeah, it sounded like Hoof-Hearted.
I would happily buy shares in that horse.
It was brilliant, yeah.
We've had Old MacDonald.
Yep.
We've got Father Christmas right now.
Yep.
Do you have a third one on the way? And also, are they related? Like, physically, are they brothers?
Are they physically related? Well, a lot of people ask, are they based on me? And Old MacDonald was. He's a very handsome chap. But... obviously, Father Christmas has got a grey beard, and since I started drawing him, my beard has started to turn grey. So I think it's some kind of weird thing where I'm turning into the character that I've drawn.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so the next one, I'm going to draw a character who looks a bit like George Clooney.
Brilliant.
Then hopefully I'll turn into that.
That's definitely how that works.
Yeah, that's probably. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to go, to be honest.
Will the kids know who George Clooney is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think he's famous enough. It's fine. He's a pretty big deal.
He's basically the husband of a very successful human rights lawyer.
He is. I'd say that's true. I would say he is your mum's Harry Styles.
Your mum's Harry Styles.
There you go.
That's a good frame of reference.
Right, so I also wanted to ask, can the book be sung? Because obviously Old MacDonald is a sung song.
Oh, yeah, this one's, it's very similar. It can be sung, and it's a very different... If you've seen Old MacDonald, and you'll know this, there's a surprise ending. This also has a surprise ending, but it's a very different one.
Yeah, I didn't want to give the ending away. No. I didn't want to say who the pop was.
No, don't do that.
No.
Do that. But it's not who you think it is. Because everyone always tries to guess, and they always guess wrong.
It's such a good book as well. Like, it's literally a page-turner. Like,
it is a page-turner, yeah. And you can
so
sing
pretty.
Along.
It's so
pretty. Let me just grab it.
You've got snowmen, you've got elves, you've got reindeer, you've got Santa.
My daughters are kind of in the choir there, so I've drawn them in the book.
Great.
So, yeah, there's also a few characters from Old MacDonald who kind of make a little cameo appearance. We've got the duck appears in it again. So yeah, it's all good fun. And there's a few little funny kind of incidental things. Like on the front, you've got a snowman who has a carrot for a nose. And then a few pages in, you see Father Christmas is feeding his nose to the reindeers.
Oh, yeah, because his hand's next to his face. Like, where did my nose go?
Where's my nose gone?
Yes, I also love the reindeer is wearing a reindeer Christmas jumper.
Yes,
appreciate that a lot. We should really do our author quiz with you.
Okay.
We always do a quiz with authors just to get a feel for who they are, like a kind of quick fire round thing, if that's okay.
Cool. So I've been primed by my daughter.
You have been primed. I like this. Okay, so the first question you know already very well: books or Kindles?
Well, sorry, Tuesday. I'm going to say book. She wanted me to say Kindle, but she has got a Kindle and she loves her. So book, because I draw things. And
as your daughter says, though, every author says book. I don't know why I ask it sometimes, but I love that she was like, no, Dad, say Kindles.
Say Kindle.
Heroes or villains?
Oh, heroes.
Interesting. Okay. Fart or pop?
Fart.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Ooh. TV.
Oh, okay. I can see that, like being a modern day The Snowman, remember Briggs. Comedy or drawing?
Ooh, that's the...
It's quite hard, isn't it?
That's the question.
The two loves.
Oh. Can't choose.
Okay.
Can't choose.
I
have to choose?
I mean, preferably, yeah.
Oh, I'd say drawing.
Okay. Yeah. I could really see the cogs in your head going then. Okay, interesting.
It's a tough one, though.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
Straight away. Laptop or write by hand?
Write by hand.
I guess as an artist, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Bookshop visit or school tour?
School tour.
More fun.
More fun. Much more fun.
Santa or Old MacDonald?
Ooh.
Yeah, the two biggies there.
Ooh. I'm going to say Old MacDonald because he looks more like me. But I love Santa. He's great. Who wouldn't like?
Dasher or Donna?
Donna. Oh, no. Yeah, Donna, because it's also my favourite kebab.
There we go. And salt and vinegar or cheese and onion, the
salt
big one.
Salt and vinegar.
Yes, thank you.
Cheese and onion.
I automatically like people 10% more when they say salt and vinegar. It just naturally is. So we should say, Olaf, your book is out right now.
It's out right now.
Father Christmas Heard a Pop.
Father Christmas Heard a Pop in all good bookshops and most of the evil ones as well.
Never heard that before. Brilliant. So everybody should go out and get it right now.
Right now.
Run out the house.
And make sure you get your mums and dads to read it to you because I love making adults look stupid.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Perfect.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to Olaf Falafel for coming in and, let's face it, teaching us all about the art of popping. Now, that's pretty much it from the Fun Kids Book Club podcast. I think I should probably give you the answer to my book club question. Today's was, who is the author of The Christmasaurus? And I can tell you, I gave you the answers of either Tom Fletcher or David Walliams or Jacqueline Wilson. The proper answer is Tom Fletcher, Mr. Tom Fletcher himself, friend of the show. Don't worry about it. He wrote The Christmasaurus. It's meant to be amazing. That's pretty much it from me today. If you like this podcast, well, first of all, thank you very much. Go and subscribe. Go and like it. Go and tell your friends about it. Go and read some books. And I'll see you in the new year. Bye.